Hi, today we'll be reading from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on."
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the pastoral team here and happy to be sharing. Just a comment. It's lovely to be studying God's Word together, whether that would be through a Church Connect format, whether it be a podcast, or whether we find our way in person together. How it's so good to be in the middle of a community or amongst a community that is on a journey in the study of God's Word. Love to hear from you, things that you're learning, things that you're sharing. I appreciate so much the opportunities, of course, to share. The opportunities to hear from others is such a joy and such a blessing as we all learn together. My information is on the website. You can find me there or reach out. Again, it's just nice to be studying God's Word together. And of course, we are finding ourselves in the Gospel of Luke, and sharing today as Marion has read from Luke chapter 21. Let's just recap briefly. We, in the last number of weeks, we have been reading the details of Jesus's final weeks before his eventual arrest and crucifixion, recorded in Luke chapter 22, verse 23. Of course, we're studying the book of Gospel of Luke. The last few weeks, we've been going verse by verse through Luke chapter 20. Again, Luke 22, 23, the arrest, the crucifixion, we're in Luke chapter 20, where Jesus is in Jerusalem, the religious capital, the religious center. He arrived into this busy city riding on a donkey. There's a whole story there. And of course, while many pilgrims would be arriving from all over to celebrate the annual feast of the Passover. And as we have been reading in Luke chapter 20 and now in chapter 21, Jesus is regularly now in the temple and teaching. Our text today highlights perhaps a scene that we just have had read, a scene, if you've been following along with us, it does not seem to fit whatsoever in chapter 20 or chapter 22. It doesn't seem to fit into the narrative. It seems to be misplaced. That's perhaps with an original quick look. Perhaps there's more to the placement of the story. Perhaps it actually does make complete sense, for it perhaps illustrates so much of as actually happening at the time. If we take a quick look in those first four verses, we would quickly conclude that this is a passage that calls us more into sacrificial giving. A quick read would be the contrast between the wealthy and the widow. The widow's the hero. Be like the widow. Next chapter. We need to slow down. If you take a look at the context, which we've been doing carefully the last few weeks, the story will be read and interpreted quite differently. Again, the context. Jesus has been teaching the multitudes in the temple. He's been confronted by the false religious leaders of Judaism who have endeavored to trap him in his words so that they might have some cause to have him arrested and ultimately executed. In the midst of all the dialogue, Jesus has silenced them every time. And we've been looking at this last 4 weeks. His answers have been straight to the point, and now it's to the place where his accusers and critics are going to have to lie and fabricate a reason if the Romans were to agree to execute him. That's later on in chapter 22, chapter 23. There's no secret that they wanted him dead. If we follow the teachings closely of the last 4 weeks, and specifically last week, a review of Luke chapter 20, verses 46 to 47, the synoptic version is found in Matthew 23, Jesus was quickly coming to the place of having much little to say. What do I mean by that? After all these years and the final showdown in the temple in Jerusalem, the public and the religious leaders' final assessment of Jesus that he is not the Messiah, and he is certainly not the Messiah they wanted, they have rejected him and they want him removed. They want him dead. Again, as we zoom out, how unfortunate. All the many years of Jesus' public ministry, all the sermons he had preached, all the questions answered, all the parables, all the teaching, all the miracles, all the generosity. And it has come down to the point where the leadership in Israel has rejected Jesus and much of the nation who are following this leadership and also rejecting him. Hence, Jesus would soon be arrested, accused, pronounced guilty, sentenced to death, Luke chapter 22, 23. So this is why we see this, what's this seemingly a misplaced little story. Again, what do I mean? Just prior to Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 4, Luke Knight reminded us last week from Luke's work in Luke chapter 20 and again Matthew 23, Jesus had just pronounced, just prior to our story of the wealthy and the widow, Jesus had just pronounced some strong concerning judgments upon the spiritual leaders of the day. Matthew records it this way, strong accusations, Matthew chapter 23, parallel to Matthew 20, Matthew 23 verses 13 and 15 and 16, strong words of judgment. Verse 17, woe to blind fools. Verse 19, woe to blind men. And then in verse 23, 25 and 7, woe to you hypocrites. And finally, Matthew 23, 35, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth. Woo! These are strongest judgments that are recorded that Jesus had ever said. Then we segue into the story of the widow giving in the temple. It would seem again, as we zoom out to understand the context of this small story, it would seem again, repeating myself, but that Jesus had no more to say. He had no more to say to these false leaders, religious leaders. Jesus was inviting, they're not coming. Subsequent, as you study the context of the verses that we're in today, Luke 21, verses 1 to 4, right after this in verse 5, Luke 21, verse 5, follow in your Bibles, Jesus goes on again in strong judgments, judgments on the temple, judgments on the world, judgment in Jerusalem, judgments towards the end times. So again, to appreciate our four-verse text today, we have to study it in the context of what's prior and what's behind it. And again, strong words of judgment. So, what, again, is important about these four verses? Again, context is the key. So again, review. In the midst of this heated pinnacle of exchange, both Luke and, of course, the synoptic recording in Mark records Jesus taking a notice of those giving in the temple treasury. And they record it. It's so amusing and so important. They record it as something that reflects priority. We look at it with a quick glance and say, it's misplaced. It doesn't seem to fit. It feels like a commercial. Luke and Mark say, really important what's happening and the things that Jesus comments about what is happening. So let's again go back to the actual four verses that we're looking at today. The synoptic, Mark chapter 12, says that Jesus sat down. So after this strong judgment, he turns and he sits down. So perhaps he was standing to give his judgments. He sits down and he begins to observe the people that are giving in the temple treasury. And it's recorded this way in verse 1, Luke chapter 21, verse 1, our text. It says, Jesus looked up. One definition of the word look up means to recover sight. Odd, or is it? Of course, it would not be referring that Jesus had lost his sight. It perhaps means he saw again what was happening in the temple, something that he had seen for a long time, and he recovered his sight. He began to see the things that he'd already been seeing. He recovered his sight. So what was happening in front of him as people gave in that public to that public treasury was tied to the things that he'd already been seeing and discussing. It says he looked up, he recovered his sight, and he saw. One definition of the word saw has to do with seeing with the mind. So again, our attention is not drawn to what Jesus had was seeing with his eyes, but what he was interpreting in his mind, what he saw. One scholar describes the word Jesus saw as something that has more to do with theatrics. In other words, Jesus was watching actors. He was watching characters. He was watching the theatrics of people putting money in the temple giving boxes, alluding to the idea that this temple treasury should be thought of more like a stage where actors performed for recognition than actual and perhaps genuine godly giving. So what did he recovered his sight? He saw the theatrics, and in verse 1 and 2, it says, what did he actually see? He saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. So again, he was seeing the theatrics of the wealthy and the theatrics of this widow as they were giving. And said in verse 3, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. The theatrics of giving. Let me tell you a story about my theatrics. Years ago, my father-in-law, I was picking him up at a train station. My father-in-law was a very generous and very public in his tipping and his generosity. He would tip at Tim Hortons, his favorite coffee shop. He would tip at the restaurant. He would tip the garbage man. He would tip the newspaper man. He would give me a tip if I was nice to him for a day. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration. I was picking him up at the train station, and I knew that the porter would be bringing out his bags for me to collect. And I knew at that point there needed to be a tip exchange. And I knew, because of my relationship with my father-in-law, I knew that one of the first things he would say is, hello, Dave, how are you? Thanks for picking me up at the train station. And then he would say, how much did you tip the porter? I just knew that would happen because it happened all the time in various contexts. I was running late to pick him up, and as I was getting out of the parking lot to get up into the train station, I realized that I had not planned a tip, a cash tip for the porter. And I had not realized that till I was standing on the deck of the train station and I saw the porter coming towards me. And at that point, I said, I am going to be held accountable by my father-in-law because he's going to ask me in a few minutes, how much did I tip the porter because the porter was walking towards me? At that point, I made a foolish mistake. Well, actually, I had two choices. I could not tip. What I chose to do was reach into my pocket. The porter was coming my way, and I felt at the outside of my pocket, I felt that there were three coins. And my hope in the feeling of the coin shape was that there was at least three loonies that were in my pocket, and I had no time to check. As the porter presented the bags, and of course, there becomes the moment of an appreciation through gratuity, I decided to reach into my pocket, anticipating and hoping three loonies. What I pulled out of my pocket and handed to the man was a quarter and two pennies. I had given him 27 cents to this porter. He looked what was in my hand and he said, you can just keep it. And so he walked away without receiving a tip. And the theatrics of my giving was all over. I put my quarter and two pennies back in my pocket and I waited for the continued theatrics of being asked by my father-in-law what it actually What transaction happened when I gave my tip to the porter? Well, I delayed the conversation at least till we were driving home. And of course, it all came forward and I got, I felt the shame of my lack of preparation for tipping. The theatrics of giving. I, of course, was giving with the accolade, not of the purpose of the gift towards the generosity to the porter. I had in my mind the giving tied to my reputation. And in some ways, in this context of the wealthy and the widow, there's the theatrics of giving towards things that are not right. And Jesus, in this case, was pointing his finger on it. So we can get giving so wrong. And the assumption in interpreting this small passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, is that this is a model of Christian giving and that Jesus is pleased with what the widow did. It doesn't say that in our text. It actually doesn't say that Jesus was pleased with the gift of the wealthy or the widow. Jesus does not say that the rich gave too little, doesn't say that the widow gave the right amount or too much or too little. He doesn't say that the rich had a bad attitude or the widow had a good attitude. In fact, he doesn't say anything about the giving except that the widow gave more than anybody else. She gave all that she had to live on. Why? Jesus always made comments, especially in the context of all the comments that he was making about the religious leaders. Why would Jesus not place judgment in this way upon the wealthy or the widow? Why would he not this time? Well, perhaps it's because none of that actually matters in the context of this story. For this is not, obviously because Jesus didn't comment, this is not about Jesus honoring giving. This is about a widow who is a willing victim of a corrupt system, for she allows herself to literally to be made destitute, trying to live up to this religious system, trying to receive recognition from man and earn her way to heaven. She gave all she had. That's not generosity. That's foolishness. She was blind, just as blind and just as hard-hearted, perhaps, as the religious leaders. As one popular Bible teacher says, if you look at the context before and after this short vignette, what is happening is Jesus is condemning anyone involved in propping up, promoting, or perhaps participating in a corrupt religious system that will be judged and destroyed. And so as we read this short vignette and learn why, it wasn't just the spiritual leaders that were being judged, it was the wealthy and the widow and anyone in between that are far from Jesus' plans for their lives and ultimately will be judged accordingly. Mark 7, verse 8, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. This is creating the theatrics of giving in the temple, and Jesus is pointing it out. Jesus never asked them to give in this way. Jesus did say in Luke 20, 25, he said to them, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God, but he didn't suggest giving and with this type of theatrics. Jesus did not say participate in a corrupt religious system where you are misled to believe you can appease God by way of giving lots of money like the wealthy did or by giving two small coins like the widow did. See, the religious leaders were asking this of people and were getting wealthy because of it, and Jesus said, this is just all wrong. Think about it. Something is wrong with the religious system that takes the last two coins out of a widow's hand. This is a false religion that Jesus is putting a name on in Luke chapter 20 and chapter 21. It's a false religion that was built on a false pretense that giving was necessary to please God, to purchase salvation, and to bring blessing. For this really is a very sad, misguided, wealthy person, and widow. It's a very tragic and painful story that we find ourselves in today. This was the theatrics that Jesus saw in the temple treasury. Everybody acting the part for each other, the crowds dutifully following the prescriptions and the demands of their leaders and their self-righteous acts of giving publicly to earn recognition from man, favor from God, and to literally purchase their salvation. I think we're best to remember today that God's laws were never given to impoverish people. They were given to help people and help community. Man was not made for the law, but the law was made for man. And the wealthy and the widow were manipulated by a religious system that was corrupt, and they were all going along with it. And that's not good. For this is not an illustration of heartfelt sacrificial giving that pleases the Lord. This is not a model for any one of us for to follow. For Jesus never expects that. In fact, in a parable, he once told a servant who had very little that they should have put their money in the bank and earn interest because they needed to meet their own physical needs presently and in the future. So what is the religious system of the day that Jesus was inviting people to follow? Three things. Number one, Jesus, and follow the narrative in Luke chapter 22 and 23, Jesus would be arrested, sentenced, he would die, and he would rise again. And it's in his resurrection that Jesus was offering a whole new way to live, with Jesus at the center and Jesus offering Zoe life to his followers. Of course, this leads people away from the temple treasury and all the theatrics of what's important. Jesus becomes important in the gospel. Secondly, what religious system does God bless? Well, in John chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, in answer to the question that Thomas asked about how do we know the way, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. So what Jesus is calling people into is to believe in the resurrection, the dead, believe in Jesus' resurrection, and to begin to follow Jesus, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And giving comes in behind that. And finally, the question is, who and how are we loving people? Matthew 22, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them said, hey, what's the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your minds. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself, for all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In the midst of those theatrics of giving, these people were caught up in a religious system that was just all wrong. Here Jesus says, if you believe in my resurrection, if you follow me as the way, the truth, and the life, what I will be asking of you to do is just to love me. And in the midst of that love relationship with me, we find ways to love our neighbor so practically. It's not about becoming poor through our giving. It's about taking the generosity of God and giving to the people's needs that are around us. This pathway of the resurrection, this pathway of following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and this pathway of loving God and loving your neighbor leads us far away from the theatrics found in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. This past Tuesday, our local work team had a meeting with the executive director of the Langley Food Bank. What a lovely man, leading for many years now a beautiful Christian, Christ-centered ministry of helping people physically and, of course, spiritually. What a good man. What a great team. It was wonderful to talk with him. We felt his joy because of the religion, if you would, that he was living out, this religion of loving Jesus and helping people. The food bank is recently located, and he was describing the need that they have now for larger facility and how donors are coming alongside, and there's new volunteers, and churches are getting involved in it. And it's just presently a wonderful story of people helping people, which is what loving our neighbor is all about, which is what the real treasures of the kingdom are all about. The Langley Food Bank presently serves over 200 people every single day. What a huge client base that they are responding to and helping on a daily basis. They serve 63 clients a day at the food bank. What I have appreciated this week in my own life is holding up Luke chapter 21 and the religious system that Jesus was judging and putting a name on, comparing that with the local work of a food bank where people aren't taking from the poor and the widow and the orphan. They're actually giving to them because they are a people that have a need. So today, as we conclude, we see Jesus calling us to the best way and the better way each and every day. And may we today hear his invitation to walk away from the theatrics of religion and to walk towards the person who really does know us and the person who we need most within our lives, which is Jesus. And may this be our closing prayer today. Lord Jesus, take my life. May your resurrection life fill me and give me the courage and the capacity to love you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love my neighbor as I would seek to love myself. That will take all kinds of different forms this week, but may God bless us as we walk away from the religious theatrics and move towards a relationship with Jesus that's filled with life and story that God blesses. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We continue as we study as a community your word. We continue to hear your invitation to follow you along the path of the best way. The best way to live for you, the best way to find the grace and strength and your life within us, and of course, to be responsible to the needs and the lives of people around us. Lord, we do thank you for the Langley Food Bank and the good work that they're doing. We pray as they continue to complete their move and they continue to serve some 63 people a day and more than that, that in this coming year, that the city of Langley, the people that live in this greater area that have the greatest needs, would find the help that they need. And that you'd use us as a group, you'd use us as a church, you'd use us individually to be involved in the narrative that you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen and amen. So friends, thanks for joining us during Church Connect today. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day.